live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, we've been crisscrossing the country over the last couple of weeks. We've been in Maui. We've been in Madison, Wisconsin, and now we're coming to you from a different location, back and forth across the country about four different times. Let me give you the maps, boys and girls. It's 42 degrees, 20 minutes north, 71 degrees, 12 minutes west. We are in Newton, Massachusetts, or Massachusetts, depending on who you want to talk about, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo. We'll talk about that a little bit later, because many of you may have not heard of a place called the Hotel Indigo, but we'll tell you what that's all about. And we're taking your calls, 888-887-3837. That's 888-887-3837. 88 Peter, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. Where is Newton? Well, Newton's about 30 minutes outside of Boston if you're traveling from Logan, which is what I did, and great place to live. My sister lives in Brookline, so I'm a big fan of the Boston area. Lots of interesting places to talk about here in Newton. Only 83,000 people live here. It's about the 10th largest city in the state. And it doesn't really, Newton really doesn't have a city center, but it's got a patchwork of about 13 villages, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's go to the emails. We've got one here from Pete in Portland, Oregon. He goes, I booked a flight at Orbitz, partially because of the prominent label saying no fees above the flight booking banner. When I selected flights, the next page also says no flight booking fees in large letters. But when you click on learn more, and then he asks, why do I need to learn more if there are no fees? You find out that in many situations, there are fees. Now, if they book a round trip on two different airlines, for example, you get fees. So if this isn't fraud, I don't know what is. Your thoughts, please. Well, in the interest of fairness, they did disclose it. That's the point. It's on their website. I believe that what they're trying to do, and I will double-check this, by the way, but what I think they're trying to do is to say this. If you're booking on airlines that normally used to charge fees, or where we used to charge fees, like Expedia used to charge fees, or any of the other airlines or booking engines, we're not doing that anymore. But there are some airlines around the world that will charge a fee. So it's the dreaded asterisk time, folks. You know, it's sort of like the all-inclusive vacation asterisk, and then you find out that it's all-inclusive except for about 40 other items. So you did the right thing, Pete, by doing your homework. We will check with Orbitz to see if maybe they can actually amend their language to put the asterisk on the front page as opposed to click here to learn more. Because most people don't want to learn more. They think they've learned everything on the first page, and that's been my experience. So we will check on that for you. And I would also be interested to know, and Pete, if you're listening to the show, get back to us and tell us, what were those fees? That's the interesting part. Was it $3 or was it $30? That would be really interesting. But once again, the dreaded asterisk has reared its ugly head again. Here's one from John in Tallahassee. My grandchild is critically ill. If the time comes to be with the family, what is the best option? I've never had to do this before. Well, we've all had to do it before, and it sucks. But let me get into an issue here that is rather confusing out there in the travel world, and that's called bereavement fares, or some airlines will call them compassion fares. It used to be that, and I'll say this in all fairness to the airlines, they were getting ripped off because it's amazing how many people were dying on December 24th. Amazing how many people were croaking on July 3rd. And the airlines finally said, okay, enough of this. We're more than happy to do this as a courtesy. They're not mandated to do it by any federal agency. There's no rule that says they have to give you a deal because somebody died or somebody's ill. So they began imposing, basically restrictions or regulations saying, okay, if you're going somewhere because somebody died, we'd like to see a death certificate. We'd like to see a letter from the doctor. I think that's fair enough because people will take advantage and they'll do so unfairly. However, even having said that, let's price it out. And guess what you discover when you price out most bereavement fares? They're a discounted fare off, in many cases, the highest fare the airline charges in coach. And the way the world works these days, you can probably get a lower fare just by going online or talking to a travel agent or talking to a human being at the airline at the last minute on certain routings than you can get from the bereavement fare offered by the airline, because it's just the way it is. So now, if somebody actually dies on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, you better get that bereavement fare, because you'll be paying through the nose to go, because there won't be any seats. So once again, when it comes to bereavement, you need to be a comparison shopper. There's no guarantee at all that you're going to get the low fare with the bereavement fare. Call the airline, explain your circumstances, get the paperwork in order, and then also go online to see if you can beat it. I've had reservations agents tell people who listen to the show not to get the bereavement fare. They've even talked them out of it because they can get them a cheaper fare directly with them. Remember, my rule still applies for this as it does for everything else. Start with a human being first. Negotiate at the lowest fare you can get from the airline rep, whether it's a low fare or a bereavement fare, and then go online and see if you can beat it. Whatever you're going to do, don't commit to it until you have a chance to get that 24 hours in place to do it, if you have that time to kill, because otherwise you will be paying through the nose, and nobody wants to do that. So bottom line, bereavement fares are not all they're cracked up to be. And the same thing happens with, last-minute travel. You got to go talk to a human being first. That's just been my advice. Here's one from Jerry in Northridge, California. I have a voucher for $400 from United. I have until July of this year to use it. Should I go ahead and book the airfare? Well, of course. You only have till July of this year to use it. She says, I was thinking of going to New York for a few days and doing a bus trip to Washington, D.C. on both buses and returning from JFK and then flying to Portland, Oregon to visit my sister. However, going home from Portland will cost you the one-way airfare of approximately $113. Well, my suggestion, Jerry, is to do it another way around. Do it as an open-jaw ticket. Fly Los Angeles, because you're in Northridge, Los Angeles to JFK. Take your bus up to Portland, Maine. Take your bus up to or down to Washington, D.C., and then fly Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon. And then buy a separate ticket home for $113. So the open-jaw really is L.A., New York, Washington, to L.A., and then do your Portland, Oregon thing, okay? Or L.A., New York, Washington, Portland, and then a one-way ticket from Portland down to L.A. That's the best way to do it. But remember, these little gift certificates known as vouchers are only good for a year from when they were issued. So you got till July to use it, so go. You got 9 months, all right? That's my suggestion. Also, in some cases, the round-trip airfare between Portland and Los Angeles might actually be cheaper, even if you don't use the return portion, than buying the one-way. So double-check that one as well. And when we come back, we'll get a report from our good friends at CruiseCritic.com, especially our friend Carolyn Spencer Brown. She'll be joining us to discuss what's going on, hurricane season, how bad has it been, when's it going to end, what you need to know. And then, with all the new cruise lines coming on board, the new ships, including the new Queen Elizabeth, what does that mean in terms of cruise ship pricing? Is it really going to be a buyer's market for the rest of this year? My answer is it's going to be yes. But you know what? It wouldn't be the first time she disagreed with me, so stick with us. We'll be back for more from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. Peter Greenberg Worldwide, and we'll be joined by Carolyn Spencer Ground, the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic. Back with more right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this mid-October weekend, coming to you from Newton, Mass., otherwise known as the Hotel Indigo, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get to the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. One note that we always do at this time every week, we also refer you to our website with the imaginative name of petergreenberg.com for one very important reason. Look there for a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing that essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and of course in the Gulf. We have a rebuilding effort going on in Haiti that's going to take at least a generation, if not more. Yes, you can always donate money on your cell phone. The Red Cross has earned a lot more than that. They've earned about $44 million that way. It's great. But I'm talking about something else, about you getting physically, personally, actively, intelligently involved. And check that out, because there's so many different ways you can get involved. It's the best vacation you can give yourself, because you're giving it to somebody else with your hard work and your expertise. So check out our website, petergreenberg.com, for that comprehensive list of where you can go, what you can do, and how you can actually directly help. Now, shifting gears, about a week and a half ago, they inaugurated a brand new cruise ship. What a surprise. Another cruise ship online. Queen Elizabeth showed up in Southampton and basically named the ship called, what a surprise, Queen Elizabeth. With the exception of the Queen Victoria, I think that was about the only Cunard ship the Queen hasn't christened or named. And that's just one more liner out there, adding more berths to the market, which brings me to the subject of our next guest, Carolyn Spencer Brown, a regular on our show and the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic, cruisecritic.com. Carolyn, so is this a buyer's market suddenly again?
Hey, Peter. Yeah, it's been a buyer's market all year, frankly, and regardless of the fact that there are new ships coming out, just that the economy's still recovering, and I'm still seeing some deals that maybe they're not quite at the level of last year at this time, but they're still pretty darn cheap. Certainly Queen Victoria coming out, Norwegian Epic coming out with all of its big spaces, and then we've got Allure of the Seas coming out in a couple of weeks after this. I think that there's a lot of new inventory on the market, and I think it's definitely a buyer's time to go cruising.
Well, you know, I've seen some fares in the Western Caribbean for about, $497 for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do that math, it's about $70 a night for three meals and a cabin. I mean, you can't wake up in Newton, Mass for that.
You can't barely wake up at home for that. The thing is that, you know, last year this time, though, we were seeing $399 for that same seven-night trip. So, you know, you're going to pay $100 more, but amortize that over 7 days, and you're still getting a fantastic deal. The thing that really surprises me that I'm seeing now is the holiday deals. And they're really good. And when I first started covering cruising, you know, if you didn't book your holiday cruise a year out and you were paying $300 a day for a mass market ship and you were lucky to get it. And now it's amazing and astonishing what you can get on the holidays.
Okay, now I'm surprised too, because normally that's when those cruises book up.
Yeah. Last 3 years, not so much. And we're really keeping an eye on it. But there's a trip on Queen Victoria, Cunard's Queen Victoria, which is not, you know, it's not Carnival. It's an upscale, relatively upscale ship. And it's something like $100 a night for the Thanksgiving week for 7 nights. I think that's an amazing deal. And, frankly, I'm thinking about snapping it up.
Exactly. Now, in all fairness, though, that's $100 a night plus, because if you want to go to the rock climbing wall or the casino or the spa or the shore excursion.
Bite your tongue. Queen Victoria is ultra stuffy. It doesn't have rock climbing.
I know. But you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I'm laughing, though. It's a starting price. But, you know, if you really are determined to go on a ship and not spend any money, you'll still be fed. You'll be watered. You'll have you'll have a great bed to sleep in. You don't have to do the restaurants. You certainly don't have to do the casino. And you do have to tip. And that's usually, you know, tacked onto your onboard charge. And if you don't tip, it's tacky. But other than that, you really don't have to buy all the extras. You can. And I often do, but you don't have to.
So in your case, you want to spend just $100 a night just to pretend that you're stuffy.
Yeah, you can do that. And, hey, what a great – I mean, where can you go for $100 a night and be stuffy? Take your tux.
Oh, God. Now, the tux is more than $100. What are you talking about?
Yeah, really, you might have to rent it. That adds
okay,
to your onboard charge.
Now, I've always said that when you've got new ships coming online, like the Queen Elizabeth or the Oasis of the Sea a couple of months ago, or the Allure of the Seas, you know, those are the ships that are going to fill up quickest, because everyone wants to be first on their block on a brand new ship. And so where the real bargains are on the ships that are 4 years old or older, where they've got to fill up those cabins and that ship's still got to sail.
Yeah, I think, you know, it used to be when I first started covering the business, the only time you really got a great deal was on the oldest tubs in a fleet. And what I think is shocking since the economy tanked, 2 years ago, is that you can get on a really, really contemporary ship, maybe not Oasis or Norwegian Epic, but Crown Princess is fantastic and new, and it's got all the bells and whistles, and you can really get massive deals on these sort of new ships, and I think that that's just it's the buyer's market right now. That won't always be the case. And the other thing I think is to keep in mind is that the cruise lines have cut way back on buying new ships and building new ships and designing exciting new ships. There aren't a whole lot of ships that coming down the pike in the next year that I think are going to get many people too excited.
Right. So after the Queen Elizabeth, we don't have a whole lot more coming down, do we?
We have nothing. I mean, Allure. But Allure of the Seas, which is the twin to Oasis of the Seas, it's really not, in a strange way, it's not capturing the same enthusiasm that Oasis was off the charts. People were so excited. But with Allure, it's pretty much the same thing over again. So we're not seeing, I mean, people will go on it, but we're not seeing quite the level of frenzied enthusiasm that we saw. But what is coming down the pike and what will be really exciting next year, early next year, is Disney Dream. And that is a fresh new prototype, and I think our year will start off with a bang rather than a whimper.
You know, I was at the first Disney ship that came out, and I had fear. I truly had fear that after 2 days at sea, I would take hostages because every 30 seconds I was going to be hearing the songs like, you know, It's a Small World After All, and I'd have to become, you know, a barricaded suspect. But as it turns out, it didn't happen that way, and I actually had a great time, and I wasn't with any of the kids.
No, in fact, you know, my husband and I, who we don't have kids, we did Disney Magic in the Med in May, and I learned two things. One is that it's very elegant and very nicely done, and if you're not really into the whole Disney thing, you can kind of forget it exists, which I found shocking. And I also learned that my husband is a closet Disney fan. I did not know that about him.
Are you still married?
We are still married, and it was just the sweetest thing when he was crying when we were watching Cinderella, but, you know, I don't want to let him do that too often.
I'm so sorry you shared that with me. Hey, by the way...
Well, I was shocked.
Listen, looking at your site, I mean, I've seen some other bargains here. A 7-night Western Caribbean cruise for $399 on Carnival?
That's what we were seeing a lot of last year. That's a very good deal. Snap it up. But remember, it's Carnival. It's not Cunard. It's not Holland America. It's Carnival. It's brash and loud and fun and crazy. I think the other area where I'm seeing some interesting movement in the holidays is the luxury market. It's really cheap. And if you really feel like giving yourself a present for Christmas, you know, try Windstar, which, you know, is doing 2-for-1 fares on holiday cruises. Frankly, I'd never heard of that until the past couple of years. And other lines are also doing that. So I think that the luxury market is really trying to get people to book. And ironically, the only line I haven't seen come out with really good discounts on holiday is Royal Caribbean. And for some reason, Royal Caribbean is maybe it's either so full or just delusional, but they're coming out with all these come on the festive Yuletide kind of deals, no promotions, but no deals. And I find that kind of shocking.
Although I did see one on your site that I thought was a real sleeper. A 10-night South Pacific Christmas cruise on the Royal Princess for about $1,500. I mean, Christmas in Raiatea and Tahiti, why not, right?
Yeah, it's great, but the challenge is you have to get there.
I know, but still.
It still sounds like a nice way to hide from Christmas if you want to.
Well, you know, Tahiti is not an expensive place to get to. It's just an expensive place to be. So if you can get there and then get on the ship, you're in biz.
Tahiti is like Norway. It's a place that's really only affordable if you do cruise.
Yeah, it can be very, very expensive. All right, we got lots of stuff here. And of course, for most of that, you can get on cruisecritic.com. Our guest, Carolyn Spencer Brown, the editor-in-chief of cruisecritic.com. And I'll see you on your stuffy ship.
I look forward to it.
All right, man. I thank you very much for that.
Take care.
All right, you got it. And of course, remember, if you're going between now and Christmas, you're still dealing with the potential of a hurricane. So make sure you get your travel insurance before the National Weather Service names the storm. If you buy insurance after they name the storm, it's meaningless. It's like sort of like buying fire insurance after the house is on fire. It doesn't kick in. Remember, once they name the storm, all bets are off. And when we come back, we're going to go from Tahiti right back here to Newton to figure out what there is you don't know about a city that was actually voted, you ready for this? Number 3 in the 100 best places to live for this year. How cool is that? And I got one, well, you know, we were there last week. One of the other great rated cities to live in, Madison, Wisconsin. I'm partial to Madison because I went to school there, but being number 3 on that list of 100 ain't bad. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts, right after these messages.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Middlesex County in Massachusetts, otherwise known as Newton, Mass., from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. And when you talk to people about other cities outside of Boston, more often than not, they have no idea what you're talking about. They might know that Jay Leno is from Andover, I think, because he talks about that on the air. My sister lives in Brookline, but nobody knows where that is either, unless they're a Boston person. And then there's Newton. And as I said right before the break, voted number three at CNNMoney.com's list of great places to live for 2010. We always have a segment of the show called Ask the Locals, so who better to ask than Ruth Barnett, who's the president of the Newton, I love this, Community Pride Organization. Are you proud?
I'm so proud.
But honestly, most people have no idea where Newton is. You're very close to Logan. Boom, 25 minutes out of the airport, you're here.
We're about 15 to 20 minutes from Boston.
Right. So. Okay, but tell me something I don't know about Newton.
We have 13 villages that make up the entire city. And each village is different in that it has their own centers. It's very much a sense of community. And that's what the entire city of Newton is all about, a sense of community. And what I do here at Newton Community Pride for my avocation is that we put on all these events throughout the year for all the residents in Newton and Brookline and Boston and Andover. Anybody that wants to come, it's there.
Right. But what's interesting about it is if you're outside of the state of Massachusetts, you may not even know about it.
Exactly.
That's the cool part of, like, getting outside and going on the local roads as opposed to the freeways.
Exactly. You get to see all the nature and all the people.
All right. Now, here we are at the Hotel Indigo that most people didn't, it used to be a Holiday Inn.
Yes.
And they converted wonderfully. I mean, for people who don't know the Indigo brand, when Intercontinental started it to try to be like the hip hotel like W was for Starwood, the first couple of Indigos they opened, I have to tell you, they sucked. I didn't like them at all. Now they've got one in San Diego that is really cutting edge. They've got one here in Newton that you didn't even know until you walked in. Hey, this is a pretty cool place. Plus, they have a great restaurant here. I mean, who knew, right? All right, but give me something I didn't know in terms of a place that you like to hang out. Ruth. Don't look around the room. I'm talking to you.
Where I like to hang out, God, it's everywhere.
Could you be any more general?
No, I'll work on it, though. I don't know. I've been here. I've been to the different restaurants in the different villages. Most of my friends are out here. I'm just trying to think. There are so many.
Okay, so far
events.
You like to go everywhere and you like to be here. Not helping me out, Ruth.
Okay, I'm really sorry because I work 6 days a week.
But you live here.
I live here. I know.
When you want to go out to dinner with your friends,
I usually go locally here.
Right now,
you want to know a restaurant?
No kidding. Talk to me, Ruth.
Okay. Oh, you're putting me in a spot. Okay. There's a great restaurant right in Newton Center.
Called?
Tartufo's.
My God, we have a name. Okay. And what makes it special?
Wonderful. It's a delicious Italian restaurant.
Because? What makes it so great?
The atmosphere, the service, the food is excellent.
Okay. So far we have service, excellent, wonderful.
Ambiance.
Ambiance.
I love it.
What do you like to eat there? Give me something specific.
There's tuna tartars.
My God, we have a fish on the menu. You understand where we're going here?
I understand where you're going. It's like pulling teeth, isn't it?
Okay, where do you like to get your teeth pulled?
Everything I do is in the city of Newton.
Fine.
Doctors,
exactly.
Restaurants.
So tell me where you like to hang. If I'm coming to Newton, I've never been here before in my life. Where would you tell me to go?
I would tell you to, if we have Symphony, we have cultural centers.
No. Don't tell. I know. What about the Symphony? When are they going to do stuff that I want to go here?
It's all local people. If you wanted to go someplace local rather than the Boston Symphony,
right?
If you wanted someplace local, this is where you'd come.
Right. But what I'm thinking about is, if you're going somewhere, and you're going to tell me, hey, you got to go check this place out on this and this week because this is like the coolest thing. For example, if you're going to go to Madison, Wisconsin, you need to go to the farmer's market on the square by the Capitol. It's the best farmer's market in the country.
Okay, if you want to come to Newton in the summertime, we have concerts on the Common. In Newton Center Common, we have concerts July and August. Every Sunday night, we have concerts.
Are they free?
Free.
There. Now we're talking. Okay.
Okay,
but we're in October now.
Okay.
So tell me what I'm going to do in October.
Well, next weekend, not this one coming up, we have Harvest Fair. And that is in the Newton Center area.
Right.
That's on Saturday and Sunday, I think it's the 18th.
Yep.
And we have rides. We have all vendors. We have artisans that come and sell their wares. We have a band. We have rides. Everything for families. Very focused on families or individuals. If you wanted to buy jewelry, whatever. We have it all there.
Okay. And what about museums?
We have the Jackson Homestead Museum. That's right in, like, West Newton.
And what's in that museum?
That's one of the oldest homes in the city of Newton.
So it's been completely restored?
Restored and maintained.
And also free to go see?
I don't know if it's free. I haven't been there in years, and I think it might be a slight fee because they have to maintain the house.
I gotcha. Well, listen, we got to figure out your tuna tartare deal. I'm just giving you a hard time because...
Yes, you are.
Because you know what? We're all about specifics and details on this show.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't just say, go someplace because it's beautiful. You know why? Because if we had the Newark Pride Association here, they'd say the same thing. But in Newark, they have other things that they have to talk about.
Yes, they do.
I know. You know what? I'm going to make you do your homework because I'm going to get you back on the show. You're going to come back on this show on a phone call and tell me something I didn't know. Is that a deal?
Yes, that's the deal.
Say yes. I'm giving you a free pass.
Yes.
Okay, yes is enough. We'll be back with Lynn Langwang, our good friend, who's going to tell us a different way to see Venice. Right back after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. My next guest, a favorite of ours on the show, we send her out on some incredible, intrepid assignments around the world, and she gets, well, I'm jealous because she got a chance to do Venice in a different way, the alternative route through Venice. And joining us now, our good pal, Lynn Langway. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Well, what I want to know is... Okay, so now I'm jealous. You got to Venice, but you did it a different way, didn't you?
Well, yeah. As you know, Venice is not a place that changes easily. They just got around to licensing the first female gondolier in August after, only 1,000 years. But it's definitely been updating its look. I don't think the Queen of the Adriatic had a facelift, but it has really gotten much more contemporary in the art scene, and there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, and most of it is best seen by walking around, either on a walking tour or on your own.
I do it a different way. When I get there, I go to Piazza Roma, just get on Vaporetto number 1 and see where it takes me.
Well, that's good too, but you want to be sure that you get to the hot new museums during opening hours. There's a great, great museum called the Punta della Dogana, Venice still has all the Titians and Tintorettos you could want, not to mention the Bellinis, both the liquid kind that you can drink as an aperitif and the kind you admire on the wall. But now, in addition, they have this terrific contemporary collection, which has a lot of very provocative artists, really all the ones that you've heard of, for good or for ill, like Jeff Koons of flower sculpture fame and Takashi Murakami. You've seen his work on people's knockoff purses, if not in person, Cindy Sherman and lots more. And this is all right across from the Piazza San Marco. You can't miss it since there's an 8-foot-tall naked statue of a naked boy holding a frog.
Guess you can't miss that one.
No, you can't miss that one. It's kind of... It looks like it's going to be a new landmark, sort of the Venice's answer to the Little Mermaid or the Mannequin Pete in
But, you know, Lynn, it's interesting because most people, you know, when they go to Venice for the first time, they go to St. Mark's Square, and they walk around, and maybe they'll go visit a glass factory. Maybe they'll take one of the traditionally touristic gondolier rides. But what they don't realize is that Venice is 118 islands.
Exactly. And there really is something to see on so many of them. And you can walk from, because of all the bridges, there are more than 400 bridges. You don't always need to get around by boat, and you certainly don't always need to get around by the super expensive gondolas, although we were struck by seeing a gondolier texting while he was pulling through. Of course, so were his passengers, so nobody...
Well, there's also the super expensive water taxis. My God.
Yeah.
You want to pay through the nose, take a water taxi from the airport in Venice.
No,
ouch.
There's really no need for that. You can get... These days, there's a really terrific website that VeniceConnected.com that can tell you how to get passes for the Traghetti, the sort of stripped down. They look like gondolas, but they cross back and forth over the Grand Canal. And some of the hotels have their own free water taxis. The Hilton, which is in this very cool island across from Piazza San Marco, called Giudecca, which is becoming the really new art scene, has regular taxis. It's about a 3-minute ride to the Piazza San Marco, so you really don't have to worry about it. And once you're on, you know, from anywhere around the Basilica and the main square, you really can wander, take a map, go on a walking tour. We went with a wonderful art historian that the hotel had recommended. And, you know, just enjoy. Although there are only 60,000 people still living on the main, the sort of downtown islands of those 118, it's very much a living city. And you can kind of lose yourself and watch people hanging up their laundry and so forth. That's particularly true on Giudecca, which was an old blue-collar and industrial site.
I guess the bottom line, Lynn, is that at the end of the day, there is a way to see Venice affordably and accessibly. You don't necessarily have to stay in one of the really heavy-duty hotels, although
no.
I still love room 306 at the Europa Regina, because when you open those windows and you look out, that's the room where Monet lived. And then you get to see exactly what he painted. You see the painting. It's amazing. If you want to read more from Lynn Langway, go to our website, petergreenberg.com. Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
You got it. Thanks for making me jealous every time we talk. When we come back, we'll be joined by another local, the mayor of the city of Newton. I think he might be a little more specific.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. When it comes to asking the locals, you can't get more local than my next guest. He born and raised in Newton, went to Bigelow Junior High and Newton North High. I'd love to see his permanent record. Just kidding. He's now the mayor of the city of Newton, the Honorable Seti Warren. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be with you. Great that you're broadcasting from Newton.
Yeah. We are, and you know, my sister, don't hold it against me. My sister lives in Brookline, so it's not the toughest thing to get me to come up to this area.
As long as we beat Brookline on the Thanksgiving game, I'm all set. There's no issue there.
So let me ask you, Mr. Mayor, as a true local here, you know, we love to ask people to tell us something that's not in the brochure, things that I can do here that you wouldn't normally see advertised or on a billboard or in a brochure. So when you like to hang out, where do you like to go?
I'll tell you, it depends on what you're looking for, but we have 13 distinct villages, which is fantastic, in the city, each with a different background and flavor. You go to Newton Center, I mean, for instance, I love Johnny's to get a great burger in Newton Center. JP Licks is right there, which is fantastic. But you can also go up to the lake, Nonantum section, and there's terrific food, and they have a fantastic parade that they do that goes right through Nonantum during Memorial Day. So we have so many different types of things we have here in Newton. And last night I kicked off the 45th year of Newton Symphony Orchestra, which was fantastic. We have very talented. We have our own orchestra, which a lot of people
and these are all local musicians.
Local musicians, and we just have so much talent there. We've got a terrific place on the Jackson Homestead. Newton was actually one of the stops on the Underground Railroad, which is obviously of great historic significance here in this region. But we have a terrific access to Boston, multiple T stations that take you right into different villages. Newton Highlands has Lincoln Street. We have summertime movies that happen in Newton Highlands and across the city. So we have a lot of different activities for all different ages. Lots of different types of restaurants, obviously Hotel Indigo being one of them, but there are many across the city people enjoy. We have a farmer's market. But what's amazing about the city to me is the involvement, the community involvement. We have a lot of different people with different backgrounds that contribute to the life of Massachusetts, government and medicine and the law. It's really, truly astonishing the amount of talent and people from all different walks of life that contribute to the life of our community. And that's what I think makes Newton so extraordinary.
Now, you mentioned the word community, which I think is essential in this country because we have a lot of cities looking for community. You actually are a community. But I have to ask you the devil's advocate question. What do you think should be better about Newton? What would you like to be better?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm working on now, a number of things I'm working on, I think a lot of communities across the country right now, suffer from a lack of resources. And we need to absolutely make investments in our infrastructure, our roads, our public buildings, our schools. We have great teachers, and we have great public servants here in Newton, public safety people. But you want to have the right tools, and you want to have the right infrastructure in place. So we've hired a capital planner here in the city. We're going to look at where we can make the right investments and how over the next 5 years so we can improve that, even in declining in environment, declining resources. The other thing we're working really hard on is making this community as green as can be. A lot of people in this community are passionate about the environment. We want to encourage people to walk. We want to encourage people to cycle. We want to encourage people to put their cars away. So we want to improve on transportation issues. I put a group of people together to look at the next 10 years. Where do we need to be in reducing cars on the street, making it as accessible as possible for people?
But, Mr. Mayor, you're forgetting one very important thing.
What's that?
Are you ready?
What's that?
You did not mention the Fig Newton.
The Fig Newton is always part of the meals of the meal of every Newtonite, I think, over the course of their lifetime here in the city.
I mean, next year,
citizen to eat a Fig Newton. But if we could do those things, on the other end, I think, and we're on a direction to do so. We'll continue to build on this fantastic community. I also just mentioned, what a terrific education system we have here, one of the best in the country. It's one of the reasons why we're so successful as a community. We have just a great group of teachers and administrators here in the city.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you coming on the show, and, of course, we're coming up on the 110th anniversary. I have to say it again. Of the Fig Newton.
Great.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
appreciate
so much,
that.
Peter. Thank you.
You got it. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a Fig Newton. And for those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful mid-October weekend wherever you happen to be. We've been all over the map. Last week we were in Madison, Wisconsin, a place I went to school and one of the most livable cities in America. And, of course, we're now coming to you from another one of the most livable cities in America. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 42 degrees, 20 minutes north, 71 degrees, 12 minutes west. We are in Newton, Massachusetts, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, so we can solve it right here on the air. You know, when we talk about livable cities, Newton is certainly one of them. It's only about 30 minutes outside of Boston if you're coming from the airport. 13 different villages, cool places to hang out, great culture, lots of local culture. I mean, their Philharmonic alone, very, very cool. They've got two symphony orchestras, who knew? Lots of opportunities just to hang out. Now, having said all that, let's not forget, I said this at the end of the first hour, one of my most addictive habits, the Fig Newton, going back over 100 years. In fact, it'll be 110 years old next year. And let's hear it for Nabisco and Fig Newtons. I mean, oh, my God. Or Fig Bars, as other people call them. But Fig Newton, of course, part of the history of this city. Lots of other stuff to talk about in the news. We've got the new Queen Elizabeth now online, sailing out of Southampton. A lot of new ships out there. A lot of the bargains. In fact, you will see fares as low as under $400 for a week in the Caribbean this fall. And going through, this is a surprise, going through Christmas and New Year's. Usually those trips are sold out. Not necessarily this year. Do the math. It's under about $60 a night, sometimes under $50 a night for your cruise and your three meals a day. Now, remember, there's the ka-ching factor, which is if you want to go to the restaurants that are specialty restaurants or take a shore excursion or go to the casino, the spa, the bar, climb that rock climbing wall, go skating in the ice rink or go bowling, depending on what the cruise line is offering. Everything is additional, so just keep that in mind. And as a rule of thumb, as you're trying to budget your cruises, I would say 2.5 times what your base fare is what you're going to end up paying by the time that ship comes back to its original port. If it's a 7-day cruise. So just remember that and budget accordingly. It's still relatively a great bargain. Now, let's talk about some airfares as we get into the holiday season. That's a less than pretty picture. We've been talking about this for weeks on the show. As you know, there are fewer planes in the sky, fewer flights, fewer seats, fewer opportunities for discount fares because every plane that I've been on, including every plane that you've been on, has been full. The average airfare has gone up remarkably. The airlines are generating, by the end of this year, $13 billion in ancillary fees. They call them ancillary fees or a la carte pricing. I call it nickel and diming. You call it what you want. But bottom line is it's not just the fees for checked bags. It's ticket change fees. And if you want to sit closer to the front of the cabin, I don't know why. I don't get this. There's a fee on American Airlines up to $39 that allows you to board earlier and sit closer to first class. So that means you get to sit closer to the smell of the first-class cookies you can't eat. Why is that worth $39? And what's even more interesting about that is, and Northwest Airlines started this before they merged with Delta, they declared any seat within the first like 7 rows of coach a premium seat, including center seats. Are you nuts? That's not a premium seat. That's a punishment. So remember, you don't have to spend that money. You don't have to charge to check your bags. Do what I do. You FedEx your bags or UPS them 3 or 4 days in advance on ground. And for a little more than $10 per bag, more than what the airlines will charge you to lose your bags go door-to-door, and you save about 2.5 hours of your life doing that. So, I mean, that's just the one problem that we've got. But there are other little ancillary charges that are really getting me angry. Between August and the end of this year, the airlines have established about 60 different days that they're calling peak travel days, where they're going to charge an additional surcharge of between $10 and $30 each way. And between now and the end of the year, it works out to about 24 days. Now, here's the fun part. What are the only 2 days that the airlines between now and the end of the year aren't really charging as peak days? What a surprise. Thursday, which is Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. So if you're smart and you want to save some additional money, you get up at the crack of dawn and you fly on Thanksgiving morning. If you really want to be part of that dysfunctional family get-together called Thanksgiving, you get up early Thursday morning, you fly to where you need to go in time to carve the turkey and see your demented uncle and crazy aunt, let them push all the emotional buttons they want to push, and you get to where you need to go. And then here's the cool part of Thanksgiving. I mean, I do this every chance I get every Thanksgiving. You fly out at the crack of dawn on Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, do the Thursday Thanksgiving dinner with your family, and then around noon on Friday, whoops, sorry guys, gotta go. And you fly home. So you satisfied your family obligation. You're flying on the 2 days of the year that nobody is traveling. And on that Friday afternoon flight, there is nobody on that plane. They're all stuck at the mall somewhere in some city, wherever you happen to be. There's no traffic when you land. And the weekend comes back to you. You can watch as much bad football as you want. Every bad rerun, every Netflix movie. And feel sorry for all those poor slobs in the malls and on the freeways trying to get home. Not to mention the ones who will be living at the airport because nothing's on time because it's the busiest travel season of the year. So that's what you've got to do. Or do the dead week travel that I always talk about. The week immediately following that dysfunctional family get-together known as Thanksgiving, that first week in December, you can go bowling on those planes. There's nobody traveling. And the same thing applies for the first week after New Year's when everybody's just recovering from their other dysfunctional get-together, otherwise known as New Year's. So the first week after Thanksgiving and the first week after New Year's, that's when you fly if you want to go just about anywhere else in the world and not get hosed, either in terms of airfares, in terms of crowds, in terms of delays, and basically in terms of service. So, but remember, watch those surcharges, and you don't have to pay for every single thing that you want on the plane. Those pillows, why would you pay for a pillow on the plane? Have you seen those pillows? The blankets, they should charge me $30 for the hazmat suit to touch those blankets. Guys, you don't need to do that. Bring your own blanket. Bring your own pillow. Well, let's go even further. Bring your own blankie. You want your security blanket? Bring it. That's what you do. You don't have to pay these charges. And there are opportunities to stand by where you don't get hosed as well. You know, there's airlines are very happy to charge you a change fee. They wanted to charge me a change fee the day of $150, not to change my ticket to a different city or a different day, just to fly home a little earlier. And I said, really, how much is it to stand by? They said, nothing. I said, really? How many seats are available on the earlier flight? Lots. But unless I asked that question, they weren't going to volunteer it, and that was going to cost you $150. So, guys, a lot can be said for just going out to the airport early and standing by and not paying that $150. And that's not $150 per ticket. That's $150 per flight. Ouch. When we come back, our good friend Chris McGinnis is going to join us. He's the travel editor of Travel Skills Group. He and I were recently in Cape Town when we did the show from there with a lot of things to report from in terms of what's going to come for holiday travel, the AirTran Southwest idea, and a few other things coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this October weekend, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. And as we do every week at this time, I encourage you to go to our website, which has the imaginative name, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason, and that is to check out the resource list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and in the Gulf of Mexico, because of all the people down there and all around the world that need our help. There are so many different ways that you can help that go beyond just texting $10 on your cell phone, which, by the way, is not a bad donation, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about your active, physical, personal involvement. There is so much you can bring to the party in helping people out, and when you do that, guess what? You become the party. Trust me on this. There are so many different organizations. Check out our list again on our website, petergreenberg.com. Let's go now to our good pal, the travel editor for the Travel Skills Group, our good pal, Chris McGinnis. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
It's very, very good. You know, if you're watching the news, what you're seeing is, you know, the Continental United Airlines merger closed about 10 days ago. Then there was the bombshell announcement of the Southwest AirTran deal, which, by the way, I didn't see coming. I admit it. Nobody saw that one coming. And it's not a merger or a partnership. Southwest is buying AirTran. And so AirTran is literally going to disappear, just like Southwest bought Morris Air.
Yeah.
And Muse Air or whoever else they got. What do you make of all this?
Well, first off, Peter, I have to say, I did see it coming. I swear. I interviewed Gary Kelly last year at MBTA and asked him when he was moving into Atlanta, and he had a very coy response and, you know, very kind of a corporate thing that didn't really say yes, didn't really say no. But I've long thought that it would be a perfect marriage because the airlines were so similar. I mean, AirTran basically modeled itself after Southwest. It had, has a huge 737 fleet and also some old 717s. And, you know, it was just perfect. And it was the big hole in Southwest's route map. So it made complete sense to me. And I've been waiting for it for quite a while, but I was surprised with the timing. But it's a big relief, I think, and big news, particularly for people in Atlanta, because you've got the world's largest and busiest airport with, what's currently the world's largest airline, Delta, and now Southwest, which is, you know, the largest low-fare carrier. So it's a big battle, lots to watch. I can't wait. There's going to be a ton to write about.
Well, let's talk about the concept of low fare, because if you start doing a city-by-city, fare-by-fare comparison on the routes and cities where Southwest competes with the legacy carriers, guess what you find out? In many cases, they aren't the low-fare carrier. In many cases, they're as expensive, if not more expensive, than their competitors.
But the fares are still much lower overall on those routes where Southwest does compete. So even though, you know, on certain flights they may be a little bit higher, overall the flights are much cheaper. I've been watching Delta and AirTran duke it out in Atlanta for years. And, everywhere that AirTran flies, Delta would match them, especially on the first class or business class, a product that I really liked on AirTran, because you could fly from Atlanta out to the West Coast to Los Angeles or San Francisco or Seattle for about $1,000 round trip, which is nice and a pretty good deal for a big seat up front. Delta, prior to AirTran doing that, was charging, $2,000 to $3,000 for that. And I'm sure that when Southwest comes in, pulls those business class seats out, those fares are going to go right back up to $2,000 or $3,000 across the country on Delta.
Ooh, that's right, because that's the other thing. AirTran does have that first-class section. Southwest is not going to do that, are they?
No, they've said no to that, unfortunately. I write a newsletter called The Ticket for frequent travelers in Atlanta, and that's the number one thing that people are screaming about right now, because everybody likes – well, they like the business class seat because it's less expensive, but they also like the opportunity to upgrade. Even though they may not always get the upgrade, the fact that it's there and a possibility is a big draw to AirTran.
Sure. So we know that the first class is going to go when Southwest takes over AirTran, but what about checked bags? Because AirTran does charge for checked bags.
They do, and so that is going to go away, and it's going to be very interesting, I think, to watch and see what Delta does. Probably their biggest market, Atlanta, competing with Southwest with no bag fee. You know, currently Delta will waive that bag fee if you charge your ticket on certain American Express cards. But I have a feeling that if they're going up against Southwest in Atlanta, you may see, a repeal or some sort of creative way that Delta can allow passengers to get around that fee. Because, I mean, when you're talking about $120 difference in a round-trip fare, if you're checking two bags, the Southwest is going to have a big, big lead over Delta in terms of, people looking at that price differential.
Sure, and if you're a family of four, you're almost at $500.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's call that what it is. All right, now let's go to one other aspect of Southwest, and that is, you know, they have the sort of cattle call boarding. I mean, they've sort of modified it with numbers now, where you get to stand in line like you're on a fire drill in junior high school.
Right.
But AirTran doesn't do it that way. So how's that going to merge in?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the hardest part for people who are typically AirTran flyers in the switch over to Southwest, because you know there's no such thing as an assigned seat. You can't get your seat ahead of time. Now, the good thing for business travelers, because I think that this applies to business travelers and affects business travelers more than anybody else because they do like those assigned seats, is that they have something called early bird boarding where you pay a fee, of course, of $10 each way, and that will get you into Group A in the boarding process. So the Southwest boarding process is Group A, B, C, D, E, et cetera. And so you get into that Group A, and that means that you will get an aisle or a window seat pretty close to the front of the plane and get your carry-on bag on if you're willing to pay that fee.
Sure. All right, now, speaking of fees, I mean, this is the one that I just talked about before we went to the break about, you know, airlines charging you to even change a flight on the same day to the same city. You know, they wanted to charge you $150 the other day to take a flight 4 hours earlier
right.
to the same city. Now, Southwest doesn't have change fees, but AirTran does, right? They charge that $75 fee.
That's right. Well, AirTran would let you, if it was the same day of travel, they would let you go out to the airport and stand by without a fee. But if you wanted, you know, if you made your reservation 3 months in advance and then all of a sudden you decided that you wanted to leave a day earlier or, a day later and you wanted to actually change the reservation and get a space on that flight, you had to pay a $75 fee. And AirTran's cheap, you know. The $75 is half of what all the major carriers charge, which is $150 to make that change. But
right,
they do.
Then,
but
yeah.
They, I think the majors and AirTran on the day of travel allow you to make that change many times for free, sometimes for, $25 to $50.
Now, if you take a look at some of the airports that are going to be really affected by this, I mean, obviously LaGuardia, Newark, and, of course, Atlanta, because Southwest is not in Atlanta right now, so this is going to be a real shootout at the OK Corral, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very interesting, too, that you wonder if Southwest is ever going to change its name because it's turning into a big East Coast carrier. I mean, you're looking at Atlanta, Washington National Airport, which it's never been into, which is a huge change for the Washington, D.C. market to have Southwest Airlines in there.
Yeah, because Southwest has always been in Baltimore.
Right, right. So now they're going to be right in the heart of the action. You know, everybody wants to fly into Washington National, not Baltimore. And then they're into LaGuardia, and they're also into Newark. You know, one interesting thing that I wrote about in the ticket was that recently AirTran got out of the Atlanta-Newark market, and they moved all their operations over to LaGuardia. Well, as soon as they did that, it was just Delta and Continental in that market. A midweek round-trip fare went from about $200 to $800 round-trip with Delta and Continental there.
Wow.
So now Southwest says that they're coming back into, or they're going to start service into Newark. I would imagine they'll be running some planes from Newark down to Atlanta, and you'll see that fare come right back down, to the $200 or $300 range for a midweek fare. But they were really sticking it to business travelers there, those people that don't want to stay over a Saturday night, really paid through the nose.
And last but not least, of course, high up on my list, what's going to happen to the frequent flyer programs between Southwest and AirTran?
Well, the good thing about that is that both of those programs are not mileage-based. Most of the major carriers, you earn miles based on how many miles you've flown. But both AirTran and Southwest offer programs that are based on flight credits, so you get a credit per flight. That's going to make the merging of those two programs pretty easy. I think it's probably a little bit better news for Southwest flyers because they've long wanted to be able to go to some kind of exotic destinations that Southwest never went to. So, with the merging with AirTran, they're going to be able to use their Rapid Rewards points and go to places like Punta Cana and the Dominican Republic or San Juan.
All right. Chris McGinnis, we'll stay on top of this. It's going to be interesting to see who actually not only comes to the dance, but who stays at the dance. You can find out more information, go to his website, travelskills.com. And when we come back, more of your calls from here at the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. And for those people who don't know that, that's a sort of a brand new brand offshoot of Intercontinental Hotels, who, for those of you who don't know that, also own a little place called Holiday Inn. So this used to be a Holiday Inn, and they've turned it into a Hotel Indigo. So it's all in the same family. Right outside of Boston, otherwise known as Newton. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right on the air. We were just talking to Chris McGinnis about baggage fees on the new Southwest AirTran. I won't call it a merger. It's a takeover, actually. They're buying AirTran. And Southwest, of course, doesn't charge for checked bags, which is always nice. But let's talk about bags themselves and what you put in them. I used to think that only women would overpack, and I would see women pack with 85 pairs of shoes, 16 different pants ensembles. I mean, you know, you knew they were coming because you could hear the porters saying things like, back it up, bag it up. I mean, they were like coming on with steamer trunks. Guess what? I know men who do the exact same thing. They just do not have to pack to save their lives. They think they're very efficient. They're not George Clooney-ing up in the air. They're even worse. And it can really ruin your trip. I mean, talk about schlepping. Joining me now, who knows all about that, our good pal. She's the fashion expert on my block. Her name, Trudy Larson. Hey, Trudy.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I mean, you heard my intro. I mean, there is an art of packing, isn't there?
There is an art of packing. I think there's three things to consider. First of all, what to pack. That's very important. Then how to pack it. And then, of course, what to do when you arrive, how to unpack it and what to do with it.
I got one more for you.
Yes, sir.
Multiple duty. I mean, one pair of pants can serve two or three different functions.
Absolutely. Well, that falls into what to pack. And you stole my headline, which is pack multiple wear pieces. You know, a suit. You can wear the suit as one. You can wear the jacket with jeans. You can wear the pants with a sweater. I mean, you can make that into a lot of different outfits. So keep in mind when you're packing things that will work for you.
Okay, so when you pack, Ms. Larson.
When I pack.
Yeah, when you pack, what's the one thing you absolutely will not pack that you've learned that you don't need?
Heavy, clunky shoes, and lots of them. I have learned to narrow it down to pick one or two pairs that I can wear with everything.
Okay, and then what's the one lesson that you learned that you didn't used to pack but now you will not leave home without?
Oh, a light wrap. Some kind of a light wrap, because so many airlines now don't give you a blanket. And once you get up in the air, you get a little chilly. So I always have that wrap. If I don't need it to wrap around me, I can roll it up, and I have a pillow.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So now, let me tell you what I pack. You ready? Okay. I pack a stain eraser. There's one that Tide to Go is one of them, but they make a lot of them on the market.
That's a great one.
Duct tape.
Okay.
Because I know you think I'm like taping bodies in backs of trunks of cars. No, duct tape fixes everything.
Well, that's true.
It's a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And an extra cell phone battery that's already charged.
Oh, good one. That's a good one.
Right?
That's a good one. Well, you know, the other one kind of along those lines is the electronic reader. I used to travel. I would have the book I was reading, and then I'd bring another book in case I finished that book, and then another book in case I didn't like my extra book. And so now with the electronic reader, I have it all right there, and it's lightweight and easy.
Here's the other thing. The Energizer makes this cool little contraption that it just takes two little AA batteries, and it's a fast charge for your either BlackBerry or your cell phone.
Oh, so, that's great.
If you can't find an outlet, you know, if you're at an airport, you know, you can always tell who the refugee travelers are at the airport by who's, like, sitting on the floor of the airport near an outlet in the corner of a gate somewhere. And everybody's mad at them because they've hogged the outlet, you know.
That's true. Well, and I'll tell you, along those lines with fashion, you can tell the people who get to the security line and they have – They're practically undressing, pulling everything off. They have everything coming out of this pocket and that pocket and, you know, all over the place. And there's no excuse anymore. There's enough companies out there making travel garments that the construction is lightweight. They have multiple pockets that can hold all of those things. So when you get to security, you take off your jacket, everything is in it, and you walk through.
Okay. When was the last time you actually checked the bag?
Oh, never. You just
never.
You can't. If I can't carry it on, which is my number one thing, if I can't carry it on, I listen to Mr. Greenberg and I FedEx it. Because with the charges to check bags now, it's cheaper, and you know it's going to get there.
Exactly.
Exactly. But going back to carry-on, I also used to just throw in all my favorite shirts and all my favorite pants and figure I'll put together outfits when I get there. No more. I think about what I have each day. I put together an outfit. I pack it as an outfit. And then I don't carry anything extra. I don't pack anything that I'm not going to use.
Wow. I love it.
Okay. I can go 4 days with a carry-on.
Okay, so next time I travel with you, I will inspect what's in that bag. I'm going to see if you're true to your true to your word.
I am. You will see that I do that.
Okay, I'm gonna test you on that.
Okay.
And then you'll see what I schlep. I schlep two bags just with a mail. It's just embarrassing.
Well, I've seen your briefcase, and I couldn't pick it up if I tried.
Okay. Trudy Larson, you'll be joining us again when we do a little more seasonal packing, because it does change from season to season. We love you, Trudy. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that. When we come back, we got all your phone calls and all your emails on hold. It's just like a normal day at LaGuardia. They're stacked up and waiting to go. When we come back, more from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts, with Peter Greenberg Worldwide, right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you're going to email me like a lot of these folks have done, like Tom in Detroit, Michigan. Here's his question. I will be traveling from Detroit to the capital city of Mongolia this October. I will be coming back after 1.5 months. So how's that witness relocation program treating you, Tom? No, anyway. What is the best airline, and what are the best dates to fly out? Well, we did some checking because, as you may imagine, there are no nonstop flights. What a surprise between Detroit and Mongolia. However, there are a couple of Delta flights, because, you know, that's the old Northwest capital of Detroit, connecting with Air China, and it starts at about $1,800 if you fly Wednesday or Wednesdays between October 20th and December 14th. It goes up to about $1,960, Tom, if you do it on American Airlines out of Detroit, and that's a two-stopper, Detroit-Chicago, Chicago-Beijing, and then Beijing-Mongolia. However, you didn't tell me why you were going, and there might be an opportunity there to bundle a deal with your airfare and your hotel, but I'm presuming you already have a place to stay since you're saying you're going to be there for 1.5 months. But anyway, those are the two lowest fares we've done. However, having said that, if you want to throw on a couple of more weeks to your trip, why don't you go through a company in California called Airtrex, that's A-I-R-T-R-E-K-S, and there are a number of other companies that do this. They're locatable on our website, petergreenberg.com, that sell what's called an RTW. That's a round-the-world ticket. And for about $200 more than what they're charging you for the round trip between Detroit and Mongolia, you can literally go around the world making as many stops as you would like within a six-month or one-year period. The only rules are, Tom, that you have to continue in the same direction, no doubling back. But what a great deal. So give yourself another 2 weeks and then go from Mongolia, let's say, to India, and then throughout Europe, and then maybe the Caribbean, and then back to Detroit. I mean, that's how I do it. Why would you spend all that money just to go between two points? So check that out. Here's one from Joe in Freeville, New York. I'm finding that it is cheaper to rent a car for 4 weeks than 3 weeks. Therefore, if you want it for 4 weeks and return it after 3 weeks, what do you think? No, that is not the way to go, because many of our car rental companies have gotten hip to this. And what are they doing? Tell you what they're doing. They're charging if you return it early. There are some hotels right now that charge you if you check out early. How about that? So 4 weeks is 4 weeks. Sorry about that, Joe. And here's one from Martha in Santa Barbara. I'm planning a trip to London for the 2012 Paralympics. My son uses a wheelchair exclusively for mobility, how do I research accessible accommodations and attractions? Well, you know, this is one of the great, you know, conundrums, because it's one thing to say you have, you know, mobility problems, but there's nothing if you got to take something with you, and how much is it going to cost you to transport that wheelchair, and how big a wheelchair is it? Is it a wheelchair that folds? Is it motorized? You know, what is the level of his disability? That all, you know, plays into the factor of how much it's going to cost. However, let me give you a couple of websites that will work here, Martha. One is basically called visitlondon.com/maps/accessibility. That lists over 100 accommodations that are mobility-friendly, transportation options, both private and public. There's another book that I like a lot, and it's called Open London 2010. It's a true guidebook on more accessibility options throughout London. But then there's something else. You know, I get angry at a lot of cruise ships that say they're ADA accessible. Well, okay, they are, and they've done a lot of ramping. But if 19% of the American public has a mobility problem or a physical disability, and only 6% of the cabins on a cruise ship are ADA accessible, that doesn't jive with me. You're still disenfranchising a large portion of your potential customers. And what makes things worse is, even if the ship was 100% ADA compliant based on those percentages, what about the ports where the ship goes? A lot of those ports are nothing but steps, and they're not negotiable even for able-bodied people half the time. I think we should have a lobbying effort on the part of cruise lines to say, we will not sail to these ports until they're accessible to all of our passengers. You know how fast those port cities would have stonemasons in there fixing that place overnight? I just don't understand why they haven't done that. And last but not least, Martha, there's a great group called SATH. That's S-A-T-H. It stands for the Society of Accessible Travel and Hospitality. Their website is sath.org. Great website, great resources. Not to mention our website, petergreenberg.com, which has a great website process in there called Accessible Travel. Go to that, and you'll be able to get all the information that you need. So bottom line is, you've got at least 2 years to plan for this, and the resources are out there with the information that you need. So I appreciate that, Martha. And please let us know if there's nothing that you get from all this. We'll even go beyond that, okay? When we come back, stuff about Newton Mass you didn't know. It goes way beyond the Fig Newton. But we're not going to let these people off the hook. We're going to find out the entire history, the evolution, the derivation of the Fig Newton. Are you hungry yet? Back with more from the Hotel Indigo right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is brought to you by
Travel Guard. Visit travelguard.com/unlucky. Tell us what makes you the world's unluckiest traveler, and you could win a $10,000 dream vacation. Brought to you by Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You want history? Well, you got the Northeast. Newton settled in 1630. Wow. Who knew? Well, my next guest knows that and a whole lot more. She's the director and the archivist for the Newton Historical Society, and her name's Cynthia Stone. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi. Actually, I'm not the archivist. I'm the director.
Well, then you know what the archivist reports to you, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're the cheese.
So
you're the big cheese.
Yeah.
You know everything. Now you're really on the hook. Now you are really on the hook. So let's start with my favorite topic. I have to do it. I asked the mayor about it earlier, the Fig Newton.
Yes.
Well, how did that start?
Did he know the answer?
No, we didn't know. He just said, he laughed. I want to know.
No. Actually, there was a cookie company. And the cookie company named its various different kinds of cookies after towns around the Boston area. There was a something or other like a sandwich cookie Medford and a, you know, whatever, Winchester. And the Fig Newton was the fig cookie, and it was the only one that survived.
Well, because it was good.
Yeah, it was good. And the rest of them disappeared, but the Fig Newton, which is owned by Nabisco, survived. And about 20 years ago, they had a ceremony where the Fig Newton married the cranberry on the steps of Newton City Hall.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yes.
How ugly was that?
I wasn't here, but I've seen pictures. There was somebody in a big cranberry suit. It was great.
And the reason for that?
Because I think that the Nabisco was coming out with a new kind of Fig Newton that had cranberries in it.
So they actually came back and recognized Newton.
That's right. That's right.
Now, have they done anything since?
Not to my knowledge.
So they're keeping it kind of low-key now.
I think so.
Yeah, but it's still a popular cookie.
It is.
I know.
Yeah, they serve them up in the mayor's office.
And he didn't even... Okay, that's it. We're going to talk to him.
Well, he's relatively new. You got to give him a break.
He didn't know his Newton. All right. Well, moving beyond the cookie, because there's so much more than that, you've got so much history here. I mean, you've got the we talked earlier in the show about the Jackson Homestead. That goes back, you know, the first 200 years.
Right.
But what else? Tell me something that I didn't know that's not in the brochure that I would blow my mind to see at Newton that I didn't know.
I don't know what would blow your mind.
Take a shot.
Well,
you got me with the Newton and the cranberries.
Oh, I know. Pushball was invented in Newton.
Pushball. No, I know punchball.
Pushball. It was a game where you pushed around a giant ball, and Newton. Where it was invented.
Okay, stupid question. How big was this ball? That big. It's radio, folks.
It's,
suffice to say, it's large.
About 5 feet wide and 5 feet tall, and people would push it around.
And how did you win the game?
I don't remember.
I guess if you were physically able to push it, you were a winner.
Yeah, probably.
And at the end of it, of course, they gave you a Fig Newton.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going. For
it. Yes, that's it.
Okay, but that's not a game that's played today.
I think they play it in some foreign countries.
Where they have nothing else to do.
Exactly. And Newton is where it all came from.
That's right. What are you doing today? I don't know. What are you doing today? I don't know. Let's go push a ball. Hey, okay. Yeah. All right, but what else am I going to find at the Historical Society?
At the Historical Society, we're in a house that was actually on the Underground Railroad. It's a house that dates from 1809. So we have a whole exhibit about the Underground Railroad. And people, you know, a lot of folks think, oh, this was on the Underground Railroad, that was on the Underground Railroad. There are a lot of myths about the Underground Railroad, but in fact... The Jackson Homestead is documented as having been on the Underground Railroad. The daughter,
so that was a way station.
Yeah, and the daughter who lived in the house, she actually wrote down about how Dr. Bowditch threw a stone at the window and that her father went out and brought in the slaves. And then
that was the signal.
Yes, yes. And later on, sometimes he'd put them on the train that was out in front of their house and they'd go to Worcester.
Now, there's so many houses that are described as salt box.
Right.
And yet there was also federal style. There was a transition there, wasn't there?
Right. And the Jackson Homestead is federal style. It's much, the windows are much more elegant. It's got this sort of clamshell shape over the windows. Yeah. And federal, I mean, it reflects the politics of the day.
Which is your favorite?
Which is my favorite style?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't have a favorite. They're all interesting.
Okay, but the point is, when people come there, they're amazed by what? I mean, because most people don't know the history there.
One of the things we've done is we've gone through the house and put up labels that explain how the different rooms were used. And one of the things that amazes me is the children's nursery had bunk beds that were five beds high. So you had all these kids, and we've got photographs, early daguerreotypes of the various Jacksons that lived there, and they had a huge family. And so here are these kids stacked like sardines.
You know what?
I think what they were really doing,
those are the early auditions for Annie.
I don't know. Could have been.
Or Oliver.
I don't know. One of those.
Unbelievable. Cynthia Stone, the director, not the archivist, but the director
right.
for the Newton Historical Society. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that. You know, check out those bunk beds. They're still there, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
No, actually, they're not.
Oh, too bad.
Sorry.
All right. When we come back, more from the Indigo Hotel in Newton, Mass. With Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Back right after these messages. Stacked five bunks high.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.
live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful mid-October weekend wherever you happen to be. We've been living on airplanes. Gee, what a surprise. Crisscrossing the country, back and forth, up and down, and all around. Get out your maps. We're at 42 degrees, 20 minutes north, 71 degrees, 12 minutes west. We are in Newton, Massachusetts, and if you don't know where that is, it's about 30 miles, even less, outside of Boston. And we're coming to you from the Hotel Indigo. If you haven't heard of the Hotel Indigo, they're the new brand from Intercontinental Hotels. They actually are famous for owning Holiday Inn, but this is a far cry from Holiday Inn. We'll explain what that means a little bit later. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, no problem whatsoever. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we will solve it live right here on the air. Lots of stuff to talk about today, and in the wake of the terrorism alert that the State Department issued for Europe, I mean, could it have been more general? Could it have been more vague? Could it have been more, well, fear-inspired? And what was it? What was it really designed for? My argument is that they didn't want to be caught with their pants down, so they just want to let people know that they heard stuff out there that they wanted you to be aware of, and I understand that. However, it gave you no specific instructions as to what cities to avoid, what cities to be particularly alert in, what cities to try to circumvent. And it gets back down to a philosophy that goes back to 1988, right after Pan Am 103. Because in December of 1988, the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki received very credible information that a U.S. flag carrier was going to be blown up over the Christmas holidays somewhere in Europe. And that information was only shared to other U.S. State Department employees and not to U.S. citizens. And when that information came out after Pan Am 103 was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland, the State Department went into CYA overdrive, and now there are about 178 different State Department either bulletins, warnings, cautions for numbers of places around the world. But now you have to read those to understand what they really are. And not one of them is stopping me from traveling anywhere. The State Department advisory for Indonesia says the following. Americans are warned to stay away from large crowds and buses. Ladies and gentlemen, I live in Los Angeles and I stay away from large crowds and buses. What does that tell you? It means nothing. You need to practice basic common sense. The Europeans do it. It's almost a way of life. And the latest warning is basically saying, don't call attention to yourself as an American. Well, duh. I would tell you that if you're flying to Cleveland. Nobody says you have to wear the ugliest pair of golf plaid pants that somebody gave you, a baseball hat, sneakers, and yell in public places. That really, identifies you as an American. You always want to immerse yourself in a culture. You always want to be able to have a better experience that way. But most often, and more often than not, what you need to do, which is basically essential, is to practice basic common sense. If you would, basically make your decisions based on fear, nothing will get accomplished at all. And if anything does, it's purely accidental. So this latest State Department alert, if you will, it's very broad. It's very vague. It doesn't do anything except say, hey, we heard something might be going on, but it doesn't tell you what it is, and it doesn't tell you what to avoid. So would it change my travel plans in the least? What do you think the answer is going to be? Starts with an N, ends with an O. It's a two-letter word. It's called no. This is not about being ballsy. This is not about being bold. This is about being smart. I rest my case on that one. And I really wish, towards that end, we would basically improve some of the basic questions that are asked at security checkpoints overseas. Because anybody can memorize three answers to the same three questions. And they've been asking those questions for 20 years. And they mean nothing. And anybody can answer the questions, even if English is not your primary language. All you have to do is say to the terrorist, hey, listen, buddy, they're going to ask you three questions, and the answers are yes, yes, and no. And all you have to do is nod, shake your head, and go with God. And guess what? You get on the plane. Are you ready for the questions? Have you packed the bags yourself?
Yes.
Have they been with you at all times?
Yes.
Did anybody give you anything to take with you?
No.
Okay, bon voyage. That's not security. That's a game of bad charades. I mean, I get angry. The second thing I want is, which not only saves time, it creates time. How about that? Sort of like nuclear fusion of time. And that is to start, if I were running U.S. Homeland Security and Customs, I would target about 20 different locations overseas and put U.S. Customs officers in those locations and do a courtesy pre-clearance of all passengers coming to the United States. We already do it for passengers leaving Canada, for Bermuda, for the Bahamas, for Shannon, Ireland. Why can't we do it in London, in Paris, in Rome, in Milan, in high-trafficked areas where you have to get to the airports 2 to 3 hours ahead of time anyway? Get all the paperwork done then, so that when you land back in New York, Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles, your bags don't get lost. You're not standing in a line for 3 hours to go through customs. And if you're connecting flights, guess what happens? Your bags actually connect, and you make your connecting flight as well. This is not nuclear physics. This is common sense. We're literally operating in the old Stone Ages when it comes to passport control, when in fact in most other countries they've streamlined the process. And you have enough time in those countries to pre-clear for the security officials to do a better job of clearing those passenger manifests and running them against known terrorist watch lists. Wouldn't it be better to know about it then than to wait till the guy's in the air, like the underwear bomber, who wasn't even on a watch list? So my point here is I'm all in favor of giving me good, credible information upon which I can base my travel decisions, but telling me just to be alert in traveling to Europe means absolutely nothing. For me, I'm more scared of the San Diego freeway going to the airport. There's terrorism. So if you're going to give me information, make it credible, make it real, make it news I can use. And then in terms of the actual security at the airports, especially when I'm coming home, hey, give me pre-clearance. Save us all 2 hours. And that's early warning systems get into place better because you got the information earlier if there really is somebody that you shouldn't have on the plane. So it's not exactly rocket science. It's easy to figure out. It's easy to embrace. I know the argument that it'll cost more in the beginning, but it won't. It'll save more in the end because you won't have all those additional costs of misconnected passengers, misconnected bags, lost productivity. I mean, the list is almost endless. So for those people who've heard about the terrorism alert, it's been out for a while now, you know what? Go ahead. Be alert. You shouldn't be not alert. And then you know what you do? You go. How about that? All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the travel gear that's out there now that's really, truly cutting edge, the stuff that's not, and the stuff that's, well, actually weird. Then we'll talk about some food choices here in Newton, Mass. That might just surprise you. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass. I stand corrected. I thought the Fig Newton was 110 years old next year. I'm wrong. It's 120 years old next year. How about that? They had the 100th birthday party for it in May of 1991. Who knew? Wow. And how many Fig Newtons have I had in my lifetime? Too many to admit to. Anyway, our number is 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through the phones, You know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. And as we do every week during the segment, we advise you to go to our website, which has the imaginative name of petergreenberg.com, for a complete resource list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard and essential work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and, of course, in the Gulf. All the different ways that you can actively, physically, intellectually, intelligently get involved on a personal and up-close nature. So check that out. The biggest surprise will be yours when you realize how much you can give back, and when you do, how much you get back. As we promised, it's time to talk about the new travel gadgets out there, the good, the bad, the ugly, the hot, the cutting edge, and the weird. And joining us now from Budget Travel, J.D. Rinney. Hey, J.D.
Hey.
So talk to me. What's out there? I mean, I know that necessity being the mother of invention, the one that I love the best is that vest, you know, that has 22 pockets in it.
Oh, and yes. I know the vest. It's a great one.
and you basically wear your luggage.
And then you just take it off. If you have it on your back, you can definitely avoid the fees.
I know. And we had Ralph Potts on the air a couple of weeks ago. He's literally going around the world with only the vest on his back to prove the fact that you can actually wear your luggage and not. I know. Well, I have no idea. I mean, I asked him, how many pairs of underwear do you have? He said, two. And how, you know, that's it. And they're getting washed every night. You know, it takes a little ingenuity, but you know what? He hasn't checked the bag.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, we've got some other ways that you don't have to check bags. It's all about, you know, making your baggage work for you with the new and the higher baggage fees. So we've got a few things going on right now, especially for families. I think it's particularly hard to get all your stuff on the plane, so we've got a solution for you. There's a new roller out there by Jeep. You know, they make rugged cars and they make rugged luggage. Their new line is called the Batillion, and the 20-inch Batillion bag will fit in the overhead, and it is actually made of the same plastic that the company makes its car parts with. So you can imagine how sturdy it is, and you can get it up there in the overhead and get all the stuff in it, and kids could even probably ride on it if they wanted to.
Okay, but here's the question. How much does it weigh?
How much does it weigh? It's under 8 pounds, actually.
Wow.
It's so light.
Very cool.
Yeah,
okay,
packs, so, of course. You get your stuff in there. It gets a little heavier. But
all right, so we like that one.
Which is a great value for a bag like that.
All right, so we like that one. Oh, by the way, you know, I don't know if you know this, J.D., but this is the 40th anniversary. I'm making myself feel very old now. The 40th anniversary of the wheeled baggage, of the rollerboards.
Is it really? I had no idea. That's great.
I know, but, you know, just because a bag has wheels on it doesn't make it portable. Sometimes it only makes it transportable, and too many people have been trying to get their dead grandmother in the bag on the plane, you know, so with that.
Yeah.
All right, so what other bags you got for me?
Well, we also, for families, another great way to make your baggage work for you is to make the kids take something with them, and they're these new EcoGear bags called EcoZoo rollers. So they're really cute little rollers that look like animals. We actually featured the frog in the magazine, but there are some other ones that are super cute, including a panda. So, you know, you can have the kids roll along their bag and then put it under the seat in front of you, and you've maximized your space.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, those are $50, also a great value. Another great roller that we found is by Delsey, who's famous for their roller bags. They have a new line called Helium Fusion Light 2.0, and it's actually, they have a 21-inch bag there that's just under 9 pounds, and it travels on inline skate wheels. So it's really portable, really easy to use. I mean,
hey, JD, I got to tell you,
zipping through the airport with that one.
I got to tell you, I tried that bag. I actually like that bag.
Yeah.
And it really rolls well, you know. The only thing is that the wheels don't light up. That's about
it. No. It's actually a beautiful bag too. Very sleek looking, very nice looking, you know. And that's part of it too. You want your stuff to look nice too. It's also a great value at just $90.
Okay, keep going. I love this. So far, we're doing great.
Yeah, sure. Another way, if you're a traveler without a family, is to take a backpack along. And we found a backpack by Reasonsole. It's called the Mini Maxi Rucksack, and it actually zips into itself. So you have the full-size backpack, but then it zips into a wallet-sized pouch. So you could throw it in your suitcase and then unload it later and use it when you're on your travels. You can stuff some souvenirs in there. You know, it's a great way to kind of maximize the space in your carry-on bag. That's just $18, another really great value for what you're getting there.
Okay, now let's shift gears. We got the good stuff here.
Sure.
Now let's go to the weird stuff.
Okay.
Give me
the
weird stuff.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, jump right in. We ran a great story on our website, budgettravel.com, about weird gear. I mean, there's some crazy travel products out there, and one of them that's probably my favorite is called the Belts Bib. It's actually a bib that you can kind of wear around your neck and strap it on, and so you can eat in the car. So this is great for road trips. You know, you're driving along, you want to eat, and the stuff won't, you know, your hamburger or whatever won't dribble over your front. It dribbles onto the bib. And also there's a little trough that's at the bottom. It's 4 inches, and it'll catch anything that falls.
That's unbelievable.
I know. There's a picture on our website. Let's take a look.
Yeah, but wait, have you tried this one?
I didn't, but my colleague did, and it was pretty hilarious. It's an interesting little thing to have on. comments.
did it work?
It did work. It did work. He had a very greasy, messy hamburger, and he got nothing on his front. So
okay.
It worked. Yeah.
Yeah, but wait, there's one that I saw that, well, we can mention it. Gatsby Gone. Explain that, please.
Yes, the Gatsby Gone. It looks like a seat cushion that you might find in the stands of a football game, but it actually has a carbon filter. It's designed to muffle the sound and absorb the smell when you break wind. So if you are unfortunate enough to do that, hopefully your neighbors won't smell or hear it.
except for one thing. If you show up on a trip carrying one of those, no one's going to want to sit next to you anyway.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. So maybe you can get, you know, a couple seats extra on your flight or something so you can bring it on. And actually, important note on this one, the filter is supposed to be replaced every 3 to 6 months. So
unless you've been eating a lot of baked beans.
Exactly. Ooh.
Unbelievable. I don't know if you really want to. Okay, that one I'm not buying. I'm sorry. Literally, I'm not buying it. But okay.
Yep.
Okay, and you got one more for us. I know you do.
Yeah, one more. This is actually a very, you know, timely one. It's a bed bug product. It actually comes in it's a spray, and it comes in a 2-ounce bottle. So you can take it with you, and it's a pesticide, all natural pesticide that kills bed bugs and bed mites, you know, which is kind of an issue right now, especially here in New York City. But one thing to think about, you know, if you think you have to take this bed bug product with you, you know, maybe you should think about where you're staying first.
Well, how about this? If the bed bugs show up carrying a Gatsby Gone pillow, then you know you're in really deep bad problems.
Yes, you definitely don't want to stay at that hotel again, I think.
Wow, carbon filters and bed bugs. I love it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, remember, it's the 40th anniversary of Wheeled Luggage. We're going to be talking about that in the weeks to come. And, of course, for more information, go to budgettravel.com. Our guest, J.D. Rinney. Thank you, J.D.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, speaking of all the different bags out there, we're going to have a comprehensive list on our website, petergreenberg.com, and I'll probably be doing something on the CBS Early Show on the bags that work and the bags that don't. And we're only going to talk about the wheeled bags, the ones that have really bad center of gravity that won't even stand up, and the ones that are truly cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, that you know, can do 360s and everything short of splits when you need them to. So check out our website, petergreenberg.com, for that information coming up, as well as on the CBS Early Show. We mentioned the Delsey bag. I like that one. The Briggs & Riley stuff, I think they make really good stuff. Tumi's great, but can be pricey. And then there's the German bag, which I really kind of like, called Rimowa, R-I-M-O-W-A. I mean, it's cool-looking stuff. It used to be metal, now out of composite materials as well. Also cool. And they all come with wheels. But here's the thing about wheels that drives me a little nuts. Because so many people said they want a wheeled bag, everything is now made with wheels, and it doesn't necessarily either look good or function properly. But it's got wheels. And my friends are always yelling at me, why don't you have a lot of wheeled bags? I don't. I carry a leather briefcase and a leather satchel, and I'm sort of balanced as I walk down the airport, and that's it. Now, there are some bigger bags. Oh, my God. Tumi makes a humongous bag with wheels, and it works, except it's so heavy it'll knock you over even with the wheels. So remember, it can't just be form. It's got to be function. And it can't just be style. It's got to be substance. And anytime you go to a luggage store and they want to show you a great wheeled bag, ask them, and they'll look at you like you're nuts, but ask them, can you please fill this with 60 pounds of bricks, and then let me wheel it around the store. That's how you have to buy a bag. Literally, weigh it and see if it works. See if you can actually lift it. And if you can't do that, then don't buy the bag. All right, moving on. We're at the Hotel Indigo here in Newton, Mass. When we come back, we're going to talk about a restaurant that you may not have known about. It's actually in this hotel and one of the hottest places in town, and about some other places in the Newton area that you never even knew about. You know, to go try them because they're really great. Back with more of the Hotel Indigo, Peter Greenberg Worldwide, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts. Peter Greenberg here with you, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. I talked to you earlier in the show about the Hotel Indigo. It's a relatively new brand, or a sub-brand, if you could, one of the many brands that Intercontinental has, other than Holiday Inn. And when they first started, it was sort of like an attempt to, like, how hip can we be, like, you know, the W hotels and stuff like that. And the first one they opened up in Atlanta, I have to tell you, I was not impressed. Although in the last couple of years, they have really turned me around. The one they have in San Diego, Cutting Edge Hotel, really great. I've stayed there. It's really good. And this one, I mean, a real surprise out of nowhere. It's a real conversion over a former Holiday Inn that they've turned around. But not only is it a cool hotel, it's known now by its restaurant. And you can always judge a great hotel if it's getting a lot of local traffic in the restaurant, and that's exactly what this restaurant does. It's called Box 109, but I have to spell it for you. It's B-O-K-X 109, and the executive chef is Evan Prococo. I have to start with, how'd you come up with that name?
Well, Peter, back in 2008, when my partner and I, Lou Carrier, came here to Boston, we wanted to help the ownership of this hotel develop a great restaurant, and they were looking for a steakhouse, and I came up with this great name, Box 109.
Now, there's steakhouses and there's steakhouses, right? So, I mean, many of them.
This is a modern American-style steakhouse, so we're using all-natural, no hormone, no antibiotic beef here.
Okay.
And so,
but get back to the name now.
I am. Yeah. So the name came from actually the National Meatpacker's Guide.
Which, by the way, it's my Bible. You know, I read that every night.
I keep one by my bed, actually, just to grab some other numbers, and yeah. I'll get into that in just a second. But when I buy subprimal cuts of beef, whether it's whole prime ribs or whole New York strips or whole filet mignons, it's known as boxed beef in the industry. So that's where the name Box came. I put the K in there to make it a little bit more sexy and appealing. And then the 109 number is a number that specifically is assigned to a cut of beef, which is the export rib or the prime rib. And we do this great dish here called the Decon 3. It's a prime rib deconstructed into three different muscle groups and cooked three different ways.
Wow.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's called the Decon? What is Decon?
Deconstructed.
Okay, because I'm thinking of DEFCON 5, we're going to war, you know.
Well, you know, there's a little play on words there.
Well, you know, you get a big enough cut of beef, and that is a weapon.
Yes, it is. It's
a
weapon.
Now, I have, in the interest of full disclosure, I have not had a piece of red meat in about a year and a half. I lost 68 pounds. No meat, no bread. So I'm not even eating Fig Newtons. Okay.
Yeah.
But when I did eat beef, I was Mr. Ribeye.
Yeah. We do actually two different cuts of ribeye here. We do a 20-ounce tomahawk. And yeah, there goes your weapon of choice right there.
Is it served with the bone?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God.
Bone in. So
it's
a really long bone, and it looks like a tomahawk, you know, a hatchet. And then we
so that's an episode of CSI. That could be the weapon. You see.
You know, it's funny. My wife does cardiovascular medicine, and we have a very symbiotic relationship in our business. I clog the arteries. She finds out where the clogs are, and we.
So you got them coming and going.
We got them coming
or
and going.
Or going, either way, yeah.
Well, we hope they're coming back.
Exactly. So, okay, we know where to get the beef from. We know what kind of beef it is. But how do you differentiate this restaurant then?
Well, there's many different things. We have great decor. We have an unbelievable partnership here that spent an incredible amount of money on the decor here.
Which you wouldn't normally expect to find in a hotel this size.
No, we really are very different out here in the city of Newton. The Hotel Indigo has really put Newton on the map of being a destination outside of the city of Boston. And, you know, between our incredible array of China glass and silver, our unique presentations, our cuts of beef, the types of beef that we use here. And
okay, I got to ask one question. The most popular side dish. You got mac and cheese?
We do. It's actually short rib mac and cheese. It's delicious. It is a big seller. We do a cream of spinach, but it's not like cream and spinach. It's really spinach with just a little bit of cream in it. But we also put puree of fennel into it too, and that's a big seller.
What's the one dish you put on the menu that you thought would go through the roof that didn't? And what's the one dish you said nobody's going to buy this, and it's like you can't get enough of it?
It's hard to say. We used to do ceviche on the first menu draft here, and
that didn't work.
No, okay. It wasn't something that was indigenous to New England. You know, it was some people really enjoyed it, and then other people not really.
Okay, so now what was the surprise that's now on the menu that you didn't think would work?
That's really hard to say.
See?
We have some really spectacular dishes. We've been playing around with Serrano ham. We make some mozzarella here in-house.
Let's talk about Serrano ham, because for a long time you couldn't even get that in this country because of the agricultural lobby. You couldn't bring it in.
Yeah.
I used to sneak it in. I admit it now. I used to have it shrink-wrapped in Barcelona, and I'd pack it with my laundry in the bag that nobody would catch it.
Look at you breaking the law.
After the fact, I've checked the statute of limitations. I'm okay. But I don't even eat it now, so I'm okay. All right, the name of the restaurant again, Box 109, American Prime. And the chef, Evan Prococo. Don't order the ceviche. Go for the 20-ounce tomahawk at your own risk.
That's right.
Good enough?
That's perfect.
All right, man. We appreciate that. And when we come back, your emails and your phone calls, and we got a lot of them stacked up over LaGuardia, back right after this from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Mass.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
Welcome back. It is 43 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you and taking your calls at the Hotel Indigo at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And towards that end, we got lots of emails to get to today. We've got one from Diane in Orlando, Florida. For those who live two or more hours away from the nearest airport and really don't have a lot of flexibility in our schedules, are there any tips left for good deals, website recommendations, or other? Well, I don't know what you're getting at, Diane, because the good deals have nothing to do with how far away you live from the airport. So I'm a little confused by that, but bottom line is I still like the big search engines, the big aggregators like Kayak, Momondo.com I like, and that's a good way to start. But remember what I always say, talk to a human being first, negotiate the best airfare you can, have them hold it for 24 hours, and then go to the website to see if you can better the deals. Not only that, you know, look for alternate airports as well. Providence instead of Boston, even though we're right here close to Boston, I still would have gone to Providence as well if I'd had a chance on a longer flight. Oakland instead of San Francisco, Midway instead of O'Hare, Milwaukee instead of O'Hare in many cases. That's the third secret airport of Chicago. And, of course, Burbank instead of or Long Beach instead of LAX. From Erica in New York, I booked a tour with OAT Travel to Tunisia and had to take the extension to Rome. I was informed later that the entire tour was going to Rome. I received the documents on Saturday, and only 7 people, myself included, are going out of 13. They said there's nothing they can do. They offered me a $200 credit towards another trip. They deceived me. They lied. I did not get accurate information. What can I do? Well, here's the problem. If you look at the contract of carriage that was probably in the documents that you signed when you got your tickets, they do reserve the right, in many cases, to change the itinerary with little or no notice. But in many cases, like with cruise ships, they reserve the right to change the itinerary if it's an act of God or a force majeure, not just because a number of people weren't going to go to Tunisia or a few people wanted to go to Rome. In this case, I'd say, Erica, your only recourse is one of two things. A, don't go, dispute the charge on your credit card because you did not receive the goods or services to which you contracted, or negotiate a much bigger credit towards your next trip, assuming you want to go on a next trip. I get angry when the travel industry's way of resolving a problem is to give you essentially a discount against your next abusive trip. I don't really think that has value to me. Either give me cash or give me the full refund and I won't go. That was what I would do. Here's one from James. James in Talmadge, Ohio. We booked our tickets out of Miami months ago. We chose our cruise to come into Miami on that basis. We had a complimentary ride to the Miami airport. Our flight has now been changed to Fort Lauderdale. We now have to pay for transfers to go to Fort Lauderdale on a Sunday. We would have booked our cruise differently if we had known. Well, first of all, the question I have to ask is, did you buy your airline tickets from the cruise line? Was it part of their air sea travel package? That is a crucial question that needs to be answered before I can answer your question. I always advise people, if they possibly can, to book it differently because you want to maintain some flexibility, to book the airfare separately than the booking of the cruise and not through the cruise line itself. However, if you did book it through the cruise line and then the flight changed to Fort Lauderdale, they owe you the transfer to the port of call because it's part of the whole package. So if you can answer that question for me, James, email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. I can give you a way to go. But based on the information you gave me right now, I can't give you a specific answer because we didn't know how you booked your ticket. Also, did you buy travel insurance? And did you buy trip cancellation or interruption insurance from the cruise line or from a separate entity? If you bought it from a separate entity and the actual cost of the transfer from Fort Lauderdale to Miami and back is substantial, the insurance company would have covered that because your trip did get interrupted by that through no fault of your own. So those are the considerations. James, email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. Let me know. Erica, let me know what the folks at OAT tell you in terms of negotiating either a better credit, a refund, or whether or not you're going to just refuse to go because you didn't get the service or good that you contracted to get in the beginning. And, of course, we'll answer all your questions. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. Give us your name, your phone number, your question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And when we come back, we were talking earlier in the show to Trudy Larson about what to pack when you travel in terms of fashion and clothing. How about what to pack when it comes to your own skincare? You know, never underestimate the power of dehydration when you're on an airplane. And it can be substantial, not to mention where you're going. And unless you do that, you're in big trouble. So when we come back, we're going to talk about skincare in the air and on the ground. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Hotel Indigo in Newton, Massachusetts. When we come back, with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide and more of me. And guys, if you're listening, the skincare stuff applies to you too, especially to you. And I know from personal experience. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837.